morning. This is Radio Shalom coming to you through Planet FM 104.6. Shalom, Rabbi Altshul.
Shalom Aleichem, John. Yeah, we should say it's been a long time, hasn't it?
It has, and we're delighted to have Rabbi Altshul back in the studio, and today we're celebrating.
Are we?
We're celebrating to celebrate that we got a new year.
Well, you know, I like to prepare better than advance, so I washed my feet back in July. But be that as it may, yes, you're right. You know, it's the most busy time of any rabbi's life. It's all the preparing for all the speeches and all the this and the that.
And it's one after the other. It's one after the other. I mean, this is the festival season.
Yes, that's correct. It is the season. And just, you have to imagine how many speeches a rabbi has to deliver during those, well, almost a full month from the beginning to the end.
And it all has to be original thought.
I must admit, sometimes I cheat. I borrow words from somebody else. But, oh, you have to remember, as long as you mention who you got it from, it's a story that we learn from Purim, is that anybody who brings a word in the name of another brings redemption. And isn't that what all this is about? It's about redemption. So if you borrow words from somebody else, as long as you remember to say, Rabbi so-and-so said...
And it is sage advice that you...
Absolutely, absolutely, you know.
All right, so we're again celebrating a new year, and with it, besides the apple and honey, significance.
Oh, Joan, you don't make it easy, do you? Right, you're not just putting out... giving me all the clues. Well, what's the significance? We're doing a cyclical thing. Things come back. We do them again and again. Should we go over them in the way that we always do it? Should we do things the same way? Should we just, you know, put it on autopilot and say, I'll roll down to shul and I'll go in and you know what? It's... It reminds me of a joke. I don't know whether I told it before. You probably know it a million times over. But, you know, this is on air of Yom Kippur. And these two poshi the Yidden, two simple Jews, they're sitting next to each other. And the one says to the other, you know, Chaimale, it's the same time every time I go to shul. You know, it's so boring. It's Kol Nidre, Kol Nidre, Kol Nidre. It tells a little bit more about Yankel. He comes once a year, right? things done in cycles. It's not a beginning and an end. It's a continuation. It's more like a spiral. Normally we have two perception of time, right? One runs from what was to what's what is, or what will be, rather. And the other one takes loops. But if you think about a Jewish year, it runs in a cycle, but you won't get back to the exact same place where you were the year before. So even though we're going to go back to Rosh Hashanah, hopefully we are the further forward, or we're further behind. Behind what? Well, what's Judaism about? It's about growing. It's about growing with life. It's about growing and learning and understanding. It's about growing as a human being. Not remaining a child, not remaining an adolescent, not remaining a young adult.
You mean it's okay to progress to grow to old age?
Yes, you should. You should progress to old age. Because just like the flasks of wine, you know, in its youth it's sharp and full of spirits, both the one you get drunk from and the one that connects you with God. And as you get older, the spirit mellows and the full flavor comes out. The grapes, the depth of the wine can be tasted. And it's not so sharp anymore, but it's more pleasant and palatable very often. You know, young wine is often, it's too coarse in the flavor and it settles down. Certainly, same with beer. Young beer, it's the same. Beer, as a matter of fact, matures just much faster. And then it goes off much faster than does wine.
I wasn't right to bring that to you.
Sorry. But I think what Rosh Hashanah here is calling us to do is Well, we go through the motions. But these are not just motions. Because we have to make an evaluation. We have to see, look at the calendar. Look at the days, whether you use an English calendar or a Hebrew calendar, it doesn't really matter. Look at the calendar and see, where were you? What did you do last year? And I remember last year, you know, I encouraged people to make lists of things that they wanted to improve in themselves, you know, traits of themselves, things that they wanted to stop doing, things that they wanted to begin doing. I can warmly recommend making a list of the 5 best achievements that you've made during the past year and the 5 worst things that has happened to you during the past year. And then think, how can you change things? What are your goals ahead? This is Rosh Hashanah. You've got to look back
and that's
to look forward.
That's what they call them, life skills people. Life trainers come and tell you just that sort of thing.
Well, I do it for free, you know.
They charge.
Yes, of course. And a lot of people would appreciate it. If they come to shul on a regular basis, they will get that for free. You know, it's a free service. It comes with the subscription of being a member of a shul. So any shul, you know, be a member, for goodness sake. Participate. This is also another thing is that it's strange how I hinted at it before. People go once a year, twice a year, maybe 3 times. One day, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. If they can find their way to it, they'll go on Pesach as well. Certainly they will have a Seder at home. But it's a little bit of a pity because on a huge big circle, there's only one little point of touch. Tiny, tiny fractional piece of touch. But if you come more often, if you involve yourself with community matters, if you bother to go from the you to the us, then the little point of touch becomes an expansion, becomes a whole area. And it becomes fantastic not only for yourself, but for all the people that you touch along the way. Everybody gets something out of it. More people will get something out of it if you come as well. That was just, you know.
So it's also the sense of belonging, isn't it? When you belong to something with other people around, and their belonging expands, it's a worthwhile feeling.
It is a great feeling. We all, again, we have to make a status. We have to sit down now before Rosh Hashanah, and then say to ourselves, where have I been? What have I done? Where am I going to? And what do I want to achieve? You can put it with a picture that I like to use, is that Rosh Hashanah is a forest full of trees. Some are old and rotten, some are fresh young saplings. And you've got to investigate trees and see which ones do you want. Which ones do you want to help grow? And which ones do you want to cut down and put to the fire?
What a fate!
Well, it keeps somebody warm for some time. Yes. So yes, apart from honey and apples, this is it. But it's not easy, especially, you know, this is one of the things that I understand people when they come on Rosh Hashanah, you know, it's a slightly scary thing, especially if you don't feel that you're part already. And especially if you're not used to going to shul, you're not particularly used to the whole concept of prayer and all of these things. It feels quite strange. But you do it because you know they're important days. And you know that the fate of one person can be decided on these days. And of course, when there's good chance to win in the lottery, you want to buy the ticket, right? So you go on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur to make sure that, well, life the next year will be good, healthy, successful, and all of those things. But at the same time, you're putting yourself in a situation where you might be completely out of your comfort zone. You know? Some might say, I can read a little bit of Hebrew, but I still don't understand what I'm saying. You know, Rabbi, I'd rather go for a walk in the park to think about things. You know, walk around the harbor, something like that. It's not for me. Now, why should I spend so much time in the shul saying words that I don't really understand?
What do you say?
Well, what do I say? I say that prayer is meant to be powerful. It's meant to be relevant and a meaningful experience. And there are a few ideas that any individual can apply to find some sense in it. Now, we have to remember, number one, that 5 minutes of prayer said with understanding, with feeling, and with personal connection, as we say in Hebrew, with kavanah, they are far more worth than 5 hours of lip service. How do you get to such a point? Well, preparation. I know that now maybe a little bit late in the year, you know, with Rosh Hashanah approaching rapidly, but start even a month before to look just at a little bit about what it's all about, to think about your life. We have the whole month of Elul to prepare. When we start blowing the shofar in the morning on the first of Elul, we have a Hebrew month to begin our contemplations that lead up to Rosh Hashanah. Of course, if you're going to the picnic 3 minutes before, you haven't got a time to make a nice big basket full of delicacies. You throw in a can of tuna, I'll throw in some frozen bread, and I'll throw in a pan of butter and a knife, and then you run off to the picnic. But if you get up early in the morning, you make the nice big sandwiches, and you make the tuna salad, and you make this and that, and even a bit of brisket, and... You know, preparation, it's a wonderful thing. And generally, when you prepare yourself, you get a better result. Now, number two, unfulfilled expectations leads to self-imposed frustration.
That sounds very deep. Explain.
Okay. If you have the thought that, wow, now I'm going to shul, and I'm going to have a spiritual experience of a lifetime. I'm going to go so hard in for it that it's going to blow my own mind. You haven't made the preparations. You have no clue what's going on. After those hours of prayer, you're going to be standing looking at yourself going, wow, what was that all about? I mean, I didn't even get a single word of it. And here I was hoping and expecting that it would blow my mind and redo my world and send me completely off in another direction in life. It's not going to happen. Don't expect to be moved by every prayer. Don't expect to follow along with the entire service when you're there. Don't worry about the numbers changing on the board. Do what you can do. Number three, and that brings me further on, read through the prayers slowly. Think about what you're saying. Don't be overly concerned with running behind. When the numbers flip and flip and flip, oh, you're thinking, oh, they're now on page 800 and I'm only on 650. If this is important to you, dwell on it. If this gives meaning to you, stay there. Don't worry where the rest of the group is going, because they're not going anywhere without you, and you can catch up at a later stage. It happens to everybody. Believe you me, even me as the rabbi, I can sometimes get stuck in a thought, and all of a sudden, the chassan, the shliach tzibur, the guy who leads the prayer, he's half a mile in front of me. Oi, gewalt, I'm thinking, what am I doing? I'm behind. You're standing here in your own thoughts. But maybe something came with that. Maybe I needed to focus on that point. Maybe, you know, everything happens for a reason. And then I make sure that I do the appropriate things in between so that I can catch up with him. Of course, that needs to, you need to know. It's like running a marathon. You need how to run a marathon. If you just learn to walk, you don't start with 42.127, whatever, however it is. You start out with walking down to the dairy bar and get a bowl of milk. You don't run a marathon. The same with prayer, the same with these things. Do what is something worth for you. If a particular sentence or a paragraph touches you, linger. Stay there. Say the words over and over again. softly say them out so that you can hear them with your own ear, but so silently that you don't disturb the person next door who's trying and somewhere else. Allow the words to touch you. Allow yourself to feel them. Close your eyes and see what that does. And then you're going to say to me, so Hebrew, you know, it's a very nice language. I know that in Israel the little kids speak it, but I haven't got a clue. Don't worry. That's my message. God understands any and every language. Did he not craft you? Did he not fashion you? Did he not give you a tongue that you could speak? He looks into us. He discerns what goes on. And even if your mouth cannot express it, he knows how your heart feels. So if you are there, all there in that moment, doesn't matter whether it's pronounced in Hebrew or in English or in Bulgarian, does not matter. And the last thing, which you touched upon earlier, is when you're sitting there on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Kippur, think that you're not alone. And you're not only with that little group just around you, the couple of hundred people that will be there for the prayers. You are part of a large organism called Judaism. 16 million people who all in some form will revere these days, who all to some extent will participate in a celebration, who all are making the same powerful statement as you are doing by sitting there on the pews, stating that you're committed to Judaism and to the Jewish people.
I must admit that for me, that has been number one.
The numbers that I gave them in now, it doesn't matter. If one thing matters to you, and then everything else is an added bonus, that it should be in peace and for a blessing.
And I think that's the strongest thing, is that you feel part of that whole... I never thought of it as an organism, but yeah.
It's very interesting. This week in one of the parishes we read recently, there is the whole concept of a pact Averut. I don't know if you remember the story, you know, God says to the tribes, go up on the mountains of Gerizim and Eval, and on one I'll present the blessings and the other one the curses, right? And that's just before they're about to enter into the promised land. It's in Parashat Re'eh. And the parasha starts with the word Re'eh, which is singular. And then it goes on to use the plural, Samti lifnechem, I've put before you, but lifnechem is in plural. So the sages explain, why this grammatical movement from single to plural? Well, this whole scenario, the people, six tribes on one top, six tribes on another, ready to receive blessings and curses. This is the pact between God and Israel, where God makes Israel aware that we are all, each individual, part of a bigger organism. And as individual members of that organism, we are also Evarim. We are accountable for each other. No, not accountable is not the right word. We have to look after each other.
Responsible.
Thank you. There is a beautiful song on that theme. Kol Israel Aravim Zeh Lazeh, very often used in Israeli dance. Fantastic song. All of Israel is responsible for each other. That is from that grammatical construction, from moving from see, I present before you today, and where the before you is in the plural.
Why curses? Can't we do without them?
Oh, Joan. Curses.
The blessings I love.
Yes,
I can relate to you, but curses.
Nothing would be a blessing if there wasn't any curses. Nothing would be good if there wasn't anything bad. There would be no light without darkness. There would be...
So we must accept bad because it shows up good.
It doesn't. I did not tell you to accept the bad. Sur mira, avoid evil. Of course, this is the point of your life, that you have to strive to do good all the days of your life. But how were you to appreciate anything as good if you could not see the other side of the coin? If there was no such thing as bad, our lives would be as bland as... Yes, I don't know what.
So we must accept bad behavior and criminal behavior.
No, again, I did not say we must accept it.
But if you accept that it's necessary...
No, you can accept that it has to be there as a possibility. I have never said that you would need to accept criminal behavior or being nasty to other people. This is your task in life to try and avoid it. But if it was not a possibility, then you wouldn't even have free choice. And then talking about anything would be absolutely purposeless.
So you couldn't choose a good life because a good life would be automatic.
Of course.
And therefore it wouldn't mean that much.
This was the state in paradise. This was the state in the Gan Eden, in the Garden of Eden. That was what was there. And what came from the big apple theft? We've talked about this before. The big apple theft. It was only... The only was no born sin and nothing like that. It gave us the knowledge to know good from evil. And from that second on, reward and punishment came into the picture. Good and evil entered the world because all of a sudden, human beings could choose to do bad things over good things. But at the same time was instituted that if you do good things... Good things will happen to you. If you do bad things will happen to you.
No, I would dispute that. Sometimes.
Believe you me.
Sometimes bad things happen to good people.
That is correct. And we have to remember that when we do the cheshbon, when we do the columns with the numbers and the figures, we aren't divine accountants. We do not necessarily know all the in-betweens. I'm not here hinting that somebody who was apparently a good person might not have been and whatever. We do not understand why God rewards and punishes in the way that he does. It is, quite frankly, not intelligible to us. And if we knew that, I think we'd try to trigger the game. So we're trying the best that we can to do the best possible things to be the best possible human beings. That's Judaism. You shouldn't. You know what's right and what's wrong. It's all there right in front of you. This is the agenda. Try to keep to the right side. Try to keep to the blessings and not to the curses. But the choice is yours.
Well, I think what I like about Rosh Hashanah is I feel when a year comes up, here's your chance to do things a bit better than you did last year.
Exactly. So,
and it's a clean slate. And I don't have to worry what is in the past. I only have to worry how I cope with the future.
Oh, I think if you don't learn from the past, Joan, then...
Well, you know what got me down in the past? I think, no, that was last year. Maybe this year will be better.
No, but you know, you have the knowledge. So it's not like you get a completely clean slate because you know what you've done wrong and you know what you want to improve. So you know where you're going. You know where you've been. That makes you. You can't separate yourself from what you've already done. If you do that, you would be like a person, like a tree without roots. But you're absolutely right. You should ask yourself the questions, what makes my life feel meaningful? Who means most to me? And have I ever told them that they're important to me? You could ask philosophical questions such as, are there ideals that I would be willing to die for? If I could live my life all over, would I change anything? What would bring more happiness into the world? What were my most significant achievements since last year, and what were my three biggest mistakes? The prayer book talks a lot about mistakes, or rather, it talks a lot about sin. The Hebrew word chet is better translatable into a mistake. It's not a sin, you know. Sin
I thought
has been
we didn't believe in sin.
No, we don't believe in sin. We believe
in mistakes.
Well, the English language is such a poor language. It might be the biggest vocabulary in the world, but sin, also because the word sin has been hijacked by another organization, and there it's become very sticky and very unpleasant. When we talk about a chet, the Hebrew word is better translatable into a mistake. But, you know, when the rabbis, I think, sometimes wanted to translate it into English, the word sin, you know, it made it more... If you're...
Pungent.
Well, yes. Oh, yeah, and made people stay away from it, right. It's better with mistake, because mistakes can be repaired. Sins are irreparable to some extent. Now, also, something you might want to think about is what project or what goal did you leave undone in the past year that you might regret or might want to take up? And if another question is, if you knew you couldn't fail, what's the one thing that you wanted to do and accomplish in life?
I never thought of that. Say that again.
Well, it's if you knew you couldn't fail, what would you do? What would you really want to accomplish?
I never thought of that. That's a new one on me.
Well, it's good to have high wishes or dreams sometimes, right, because they also keep us poised and they help us to aspire. And what are your three major goals in life? What are you currently doing to achieve them? And what practical steps can you take within the next, say, 2-3 months towards these goals? And were you to give your children, your grandchildren, please God, any practical advice? 3 pieces of advice. You shouldn't go too far. So, you know, 1 is too little, 2 is so, 3 is enough. If you could give them 3 pieces of advice, what would it be? And these are just, you know, they're just directional questions. You can sit down with your friends or whatever, make up more questions. But what is the aim of the exercise? Is to make you think, where have you been? Where are you heading to? How are you going to get there? How are you going to grow? How are you going to build yourself up? Possibility, potential, all these things are the key words that makes us buzz on Rosh Hashanah.
So that's the thing with Rosh Hashanah, and for those who are involved with voluntary organizations, that's what you call your strategic plan.
Yeah, correct. It is strategic planning, yes.
So remember, Rosh Hashanah is the time when you do your personal strategic plan.
Amen.
Well, thank you, Rabbi, very much. And would you like to give a message to the listeners for Rosh Hashanah?
Well, I sincerely hope that everybody this year will give it a shot. Try some of these simple tricks, if I may call them so, and see if they can connect. And through that connection, make a stronger connection with the Jewish community, with the Jewish people, for the year to come. Sheyeh lekulam shana tova umetuka.
And wish you all a very happy year, very prosperous year.
Healthy year.
A healthy year, alavai, and well over the fast.
Shana tova.
And if you've missed this program, you can go to www.planetaudio.org.nz/Radio Shalom, one word. And thank you to our sponsor, Nature Bee. Language.